This is East End Inc. Poet, teacher, and critic Grace Shulman is the editor of Morning Songs, Poems of Sorrow and Beauty, published in 2019 by New Directions. Ms. Shulman presented the work in July at Canyo's Books in Sag Harbor, with readings by writers Julie Sheehan, Philip Schultz, Paul Ganega, Therese Svoboda, and Ms. Shulman. Here is Grace Shulman.
Poems of mourning are also poems of praise, and in every culture, the prayers of mourning have been prayers of thanksgiving, from the Jewish Kaddish to the Muslim call for glorification, to the Christian wake, to the jasmine in New Orleans celebrating the wonderful second line beat. These are occasions of praise and celebration. And so it is with these poems, which sing of sorrow as they celebrate the will to live and the wonder of being here, of existence itself.
William Carlos Williams, the last words of my English grandmother. Certainly someone who does not go gently into that good night. There were some dirty plates and a glass of milk beside her on a small table near the rank, disheveled bed. Wrinkled and nearly blind, she lay and snored, rousing with anger in her tones to cry for food. "Give me something to eat. They're starving me. I'm all right. I won't go to the hospital. No, no, no. Give me something to eat." "Let me take you to the hospital," I said. "And after you are well, you can do as you please." She smiled. "Yes. You do what you please. Then I do what I please. Oh, oh, oh," she cried, as the ambulance men lifted her onto the stretcher. "Is that what you call making me comfortable?" By now, her mind was clear. "Oh, you think you're smart, you young people," she said. "But I'll tell you, you don't know anything." Then we started. On the way, we passed a long row of elms. She looked at them a while out of the ambulance window and said, "What are all those fuzzy things out there? Trees? Well, I'm tired of them," and rolled her head away. Of course, we mourn not just family, not just friends, but we have complex relationships, and this poem speaks to maybe one of the more complex of student and teacher. Elegy for Jane, my student thrown by a horse. I remember the neck curls, limp and damp as tendrils, and her quick look, a sidelong pickerel smile, and how, once startled into talk, the light syllables leaped for her, and she balanced in the delight of her words. A wren, happy, tail into the wind, her song trembling the twigs and small branches. The shade sang with her. The leaves, their whispers turned to kissing, and the mold sang in the bleach valleys under the rose. Oh, when she was sad, she cast herself down into such a pure depth, Even a father could not find her, scraping her cheek against straw, stirring the clearest water. My sparrow, you are not here, waiting like a fern, making a spiny shadow. The sides of wet stones cannot console me, nor the moss wound with the last light. If only I could nudge you from this sleep, my main darling, my skittery pigeon. Over this damp grave, I speak the words of my love. I, with no rights in this matter, neither father nor lover.
One of the great things about this is just the range of poets in this anthology, and it goes all the way back to classical Chinese poetry. So I'm going to read a poem by Li Po, who was kind of the go-to Tang era guy. The other thing that struck me was just looking at the table of contents. These are most of the poems that I really love. There's such a preponderance of poems that I really love in this anthology, and it makes me really appreciate how one of the great powers that poetry has is to console us, to express that kind of emotional life that when ordinary prose just won't do. So this is Li Po. It's translated by David Hinton, who's amazing. I totally recommend him as a translator. And it's called Morning Chow. Chow left our imperial city for his Japanese homeland, a lone flake of sail. Now he wanders islands of immortals, foundering in emerald seas. A bright moon never to return leaves white, grief-tinged clouds crowding our southlands. The second and third poem that I'll read are both have a speaker who's addressing the self. And the second poem is by May Swenson. It's called Question. I'm sure many of you know this poem, which is amazing. And it's a poem that canters. It takes as its metaphor the body as a horse and the speaker as a sort of consciousness thinking about its own mortality. It's called Question. Question. Body, my house, my horse, my hound. What will I do when you are fallen? Where will I sleep? How will I ride? What will I hunt? Where can I go without my mount all eager and quick? How will I know in thicket ahead is danger or treasure when body, my good, bright dog, is dead? How will it be to lie in the sky without roof or door and wind for an eye with cloud for shift? How will I hide? And the last one is by Gerard Manley Hopkins. We don't even know who he's grieving in this poem. He's addressing really his own inner life in this. It's called No Worst, There Is None. No worst, there is none. Pitched past pitch of grief. More pangs will, schooled at four pangs, wilder ring. Comforter, where? Where is your comforting? Mary, mother of us, where is your relief? My cries heave, herds long, huddle in a mane, a chief woe, world sorrow. On an age-old anvil wince and sing, then lull, then leave off. fury had shrieked, no lingering. Let me be fell, force I must be brief. Oh, the mind. Mind has mountains, cliffs of fall, frightful, sheer, no man fathomed. Hold them cheap, may who ne'er hung there. Nor does long our small durance deal with that steep or deep. Here, creep, wretch, under a comfort serves in a whirlwind. All life, death does end, and each day dies with sleep.
I've decided that you can't say anything more about Emily Dickinson. I think everything has been said. And she says it so well. After great pain, a formal feeling comes. The nerves sit ceremonious like tombs. The stiff heart questions, was it he that bore? And yesterday or centuries before? The feet mechanical go round a wooden way of ground or air or aught. Regardless grown, a quartz contentment like a stone. This is the hour of lead, remembered if outlived, as freezing persons recollect the snow, first chill, then stupor, then the letting go. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, her own language, her own world. And Federico Garcia Lorca, you probably heard of him. Rider's Song. Cordoba, far away and alone. Black pony, big moon, and olives in my saddlebag. Although I know the roads, I'll never reach Cordoba. Through the plain, through the wind, black pony, red moon. Death is looking at me from the towers of Cordoba. Ay, how long the road, I, my valiant pony, I, that death should wait me before I reach Cordoba, Cordoba, far away and alone.
This is a Sestina by Elizabeth Bishop. September rain falls on the house. In the falling light, the old grandmother sits in the kitchen with the child beside the little marvel stove, reading the jokes from the almanac, laughing and talking to hide her tears. She thinks that her equinoctial tears and the rain that beats on the roof of the house were both foretold by the almanac, but only known to the grandmother. The iron kettle sings on the stove. She cuts some bread and says to the child, it's time for tea now, but the child is watching the tea kettle's small, hard tears dance like mad on the hot, black stove, the way the rain must dance on the house. Tidying up, the old grandmother hangs up the clever almanac on its string. Bird-like, the almanac hovers half open above the child, hovers above the old grandmother and her teacup full of dark brown tears. She shivers and says she thinks the house feels chilly and puts more wood in the stove. It was to be, says the marvel stove. I know what I know, says the almanac. With crayons, the child draws a rigid house and a winding pathway. Then the child puts in a man with buttons like tears and shows it proudly to the grandmother. But secretly, while the grandmother busies herself about the stove, the little moons fall down like tears from between the pages of the almanac into the flower bed the child has carefully placed in front of the house. Time to plant tears, says the almanac. The grandmother sings to the marvelous stove, and the child draws another inscrutable house. Ben Jonson's On My First Son. Farewell, thou child of my right hand and joy. My sin was too much hope of thee, loved boy. 7 years thou wert lent to me, and thee I pay, exacted by thy fate on the just day. Oh, could I lose all father now, for why will man lament the state he should envy? To have so soon scaped world's and flesh's rage, and if no other misery, yet age. Rest in soft peace, and asked, say, here doth lie Ben Jonson, his best piece of poetry, for whose sake henceforth all his vows be such, as what he loves may never like too much. And through the generosity of grace, I'll read my imitation of Ben Jonson's On My First Son. My child was called Deng. Goodbye, Deng, spirit of the air. My joy was mother love to bear. His 5 years in hope and sorrow, now in grief as sweet as some great sin. Oh, that I could still catch and hold him. He would do as he were told. Not even science could reverse a simple accident, the curse of life that will not stick. I say, here lies all reason for poetry, for whose sake I promise to love no less the next child who claims my happiness.
We're listening to readings from Morning Songs, Poems of Sorrow and Beauty, edited by poet Grace Shulman. Ms. Shulman presented the work in July at Canio's Books in Sag Harbor, with readings by writers Julie Sheehan, Philip Schultz, Paul Ganega, Therese Svoboda, and Ms. Shulman, reading poems by William Carlos Williams, Lee Poe, Emily Dickinson, Federico Garcia Lorca, Elizabeth Bishop, Ben Jonson, and Ms. Svoboda. We continue with Grace Shulman reading from Morning Songs.
This first poem is by Marianne Moore. When Marianne Moore died in 1972 and had a funeral service in Brooklyn, Ezra Pound in Venice had a simultaneous funeral service for her and in Venice, and recited her poem, What Are Years, by heart, from beginning to end, which was remarkable because he hadn't spoken in years. He was in a vast silence. What are years? What is our innocence? What is our guilt? All are naked. None is safe. And whence is courage? The unanswered question, the resolute doubt, dumbly calling, deftly listening, that imminent misfortune, even death, encourages others, and in its defeat stirs the soul to be strong. He sees deep and is glad who accedes to mortality, and in his imprisonment rises upon himself as the sea in a chasm, struggling to be free and unable to be, in its surrendering finds its continuing. So he who strongly feels behaves, The very bird, grown taller as he sings, steals his form straight up. Though he is captive, his mighty singing says, satisfaction is a lowly thing, how pure a thing is joy. This is mortality, this is eternity. The next poem is The River Merchant's Wife, a letter, after Li Po, adapted by Ezra Pound. While my hair was still cut straight across my forehead, I played about the front gate, pulling flowers. You came by on bamboo stilts, playing horse. You walked about my seat, playing with blue plums. And we went on living in the village of Chokan, two small people, without dislike or suspicion. At 14, I married my Lord Yu. I never laughed, being bashful. Lowering my head, I looked at the wall. Called to 1,000 times, I never looked back. At 15, I stopped scowling. I desired my dust to be mingled with yours forever and forever and forever. Why should I climb the lookout? At 16, you departed. You went into far Kutoyen by the river of swirling eddies. And you have been gone 5 months. The monkeys make sorrowful noise overhead. You dragged your feet when you went out. By the gate now the mosses grown, the different mosses, too deep to clear them away. The leaves fall early this autumn in wind. The paired butterflies are already yellow with August over the grass in the west garden. They hurt me. I grow older. If you are coming down through the narrows of the river Kiang, please let me know beforehand, and I will come out to meet you as far as Chofusa. And this last poem is by Yosef Komanyaka, and it's Elegy for Thelonious. Of course, Thelonious Monk, the great musician. Damn the snow! Its senseless beauty pours a hard light through the hemlock. Thelonious is dead. Winter drifts in the hourglass. Notes pour from the brain cup. Damn the alley cat! Wailing a muted dirge off Lenox Avenue. Thelonious is dead. Tonight's a lazy rhapsody of shadows, swaying to blue vertigo and metaphysical funk. Black trees in the wind. Crepuscule with Nelly plays inside the bowed head. Dig the man Ray of piano. Oh, satisfaction, hot fingers blur on those white-ribbed K's. Coming on the Hudson, monk's dream. The ghost of bebop. From 52nd Street, footprints in the snow. Damn February, let's go to Minton's and play Modern Malice till daybreak. Lord, there's Thelonious wearing that old funky hat pulled down over his eyes. Now, these section headings, well, I realized that grief divides itself into those sections, or at least literary grief, the grief that I discovered when doing the anthology. And I wanted to show the largeness of grief. That is, it could be personal for the beloved, and it could be for the world, as in the last section, poems by Milosz, Wilfred Owen. Beidou, praying for the world, grief for the terrible state the world is in, and praying for peace. And poets writing about great artists did. The shape of death, as Mae Swenson often interrogates. It occurred to me that grief was a larger thing than I thought it was. I learned during making the book how large grief was and how many facets it had, and what how it really enriched the human condition. It didn't take away from us. It gave us something in that it showed us the many different ways to be human.
This is East End, Inc. We heard poets Paul Ganega, Julie Sheehan, Philip Schultz, Therese Svoboda, and Grace Shulman, reading from Morning Songs, Poems of Sorrow and Beauty, edited by Ms. Shulman. The collection was published by New Directions in 2019. The poets were recorded at Canio's Books in Sag Harbor in July 2019. Works by Paul Ganega include Sculling on the Leith from Salmon Publishing. Julie Sheehan's poetry includes the collections Orient Point and Bar Book from W.W. Norton. Philip Schultz received the Pulitzer Prize for his poetry collection Failure in 2008. His latest collection is Luxury from W.W. Norton in 2018. Therese Svoboda's poetry and prose works include Great American Desert Stories from Mad Creek Books in 2019. Grace Shulman's work includes the poetry collection Without a Claim from Harcourt in 2013. Here are some upcoming free literary events on the East End. Canio's Cultural Cafe at 290 Main Street in Sag Harbor presents on Thursday, August 29th at 6 p.m. Jim Marquard presents True Stories of Old Sag Harbor, Whaling Adventures, Indians and Colonists, Wars, Shipwrecks, Writers and Artists. On Friday, August the 30th at 6 p.m., mountain drummer Corky Lang presents his rock autobiography book, Letters to Sarah. On Saturday, September 7th at 5 p.m., Lewis Begley reads from his latest thriller, Killer's Choice, set partly in Sag Harbor. And on Saturday, September 14th at 5 p.m., chef George Gennaris of the famed Hellenic Snack Bar on the North Fork presents a cooking demonstration and book signing. More events are at canyosbooks.com. East End, Inc. is heard on the fourth and occasional fifth Wednesday each month. Programs are archived at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Podcasts are available at soundcloud.com. Please search for East End, Inc. Today's program was produced by Tony Ernst, with the aid of Marianne Callendrill and Catherine Soka. I'm Hazel Carr.